couldn't be nicer. 68 degrees.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Many times throughout our lives, we come across people, be they friends, family, who are grieving. Many times it's ourselves who are grieving. We could grieve a lost friendship, a lost home, a lost job, a lost pet, or, of course, a lost loved one. Many of us assume that grief is just a sharp sense of sadness that will, well, decrease in intensity as time passes. We expect that they'll be initially crying, but that the whole thing should probably fade almost entirely at some point, depending on the loss. Maybe a month, maybe a year.
In 1917, Sigmund Freud published his essay titled Mourning and Melancholia, where grieving was thought of as just a painful experience that should be navigated as quickly as possible. The goal was to put whatever you had lost behind you, break all bonds with it, and work through the grief.
But more recent researchers have newer theories describing a series of stages you have to pass through in grieving a loss. The first reaction is often denial. No, not me. This can't be true. It must be a mistake. Then comes anger, and maybe the thought of a real effort at reconciliation. I'll get my marriage back. Eventually, there'll be a period of depression as we realize that the loss is real and permanent. Luckily for most, there is a final stage of acceptance. Only then have you fully recovered. Yet grief is not a standard. It's not a one-size-fits-all response to life's woes. Your reactions will probably differ with every loss you experience. The death of a beloved pet, for example, might floor you more than the end of a marriage or the loss of a home in a fire. And how we exhibit grief, both emotionally, physiologically, and even physically, and it's different. In fact, research overwhelmingly shows that there is no single optimal way to grieve a loss, despite our ingrained expectations.
Grief can be intense, as when you lose someone or something very precious to you. You may even attach a feeling that you caused the loss. You could be saying to yourself, if I only talk to him, or if only I pay more attention to her complaints.
Or even if you do not feel responsible, you may still blame yourself for other related things, such as, if only I dropped by yesterday and talked, I could have, blah, blah, blah. And follow that with any phrase you like. You may have pain, both mental and physical, sad memories, and even unanswered questions, which can haunt you for a long time.
You may even feel that you'll never be the same, everything will be different, and that you'll never laugh or be whole again.
Remember, there is really no way to grieve without pain. There are healthy ways to grieve which allow you to constructively move forward. You can and need to work through your loss. You will get better slowly but surely. There's no step-by-step process to accomplish this. However, in order to describe the general process, Carmen and I will have to describe several of the phases that you'll have to go through to accomplish this ultimate goal.
At some point, you do have to face the loss. This certainly does not mean submit to a harmful habit like drug use, alcohol abuse, or even just oversleeping.
As Carmen said, you will ultimately have to confront the loss. Don't just ignore the pain caused by the loss by sedating yourself with drugs, alcohol, or distractions. Again, you have to confront your loss. Allow yourself to cry or grieve in another way that feels natural.
Only by first acknowledging your grief can you begin to defeat it. When a loss is fresh in your memory, your grief deserves your full attention. Give yourself a period of time, perhaps a few days to a week, to be profoundly sad.
Unfortunately, remaining stuck in your sense of loss, paralyzed by self-pity, and unable to move forward is simply not the solution.
Initially, let your pain out. Let the tears flow. Do not be afraid to cry.
Never be afraid to cry, even if it's not something you usually do. There is no right or wrong way to feel pain or even to express it.
What is important is that you realize that there will be initial pain, so you need to find out outlet for your pain.
What I am talking about, well, crying, pummeling the pillow, going for a long run, throwing things out, screaming at the top of your lungs in a forest or other solitary place, and looking at old scrapbooks of family memories, these all can help initially.
Right from the beginning, make sure that what you do in this period does not result in harm to yourself or to others.
This is not the time to scream at another family member and begin blaming them for problems. Loss isn't about inflicting harm or making things worse for you or others. Share your feelings with others is often very healthy.
And don't worry, if you feel that you are rambling, confused, and uncertain, talking to someone you trust is one form of allowing yourself to start decreasing the pain you are experiencing.
If you can't find a caring friend, especially one who can understand your grief, then you do not need to be worried that others listening to you might be confused or upset by what you're saying. Just let them know you're feeling sad, upset, confused. Remember that a true caring friend or supporter won't mind.
Of course, you might come in contact with people who simply are not compassionate. Maybe they have another agenda. Don't worry. Try to distance yourself from them.
Who am I talking about here? Well, people who say things like, just get over it. Stop being so sensitive. I got over it quickly when it happened to me, etc., etc.
Everyone reacts to grief differently. So don't give their dismissive comments any attention.
Tell them in any words that you feel comfortable saying that indicates to them that they do not have to be around you during your personal period of grief. Ask them to simply give you some space.
Tell them that you need to go through this grief period regardless of how you are feeling. So please, give you some space.
Some of the people who are dismissive of your grief may even be friends with good, but maybe misguided intentions. Reconnect with them when you're feeling stronger. Until then, distance yourself from their impatience. You can't rush an emotional recovery.
This does not mean that you will lose them or should lose them as friends in the future. They may simply think that they are helping you with their comments. Harbor no regrets.
After you've lost someone, you may feel guilty. You may be preoccupied by thoughts like, I wish I'd said goodbye one last time, or maybe I wish I'd treated this person better. Don't allow yourself to be consumed by your sense of guilt. It's important to remember that you cannot change the past.
Going over it in your mind day in and day out does not help. Rather than dwelling on what you could have done or should have done, focus on what you can do to process your emotions and move forward.
Most of the time, if we feel guilty to any degree following a loss, talk to other people who knew the person or pet. They will almost always be able to help you convince yourself that the loss, well, it simply isn't your fault.
We have so far concentrated on loss of life, but you can also lose a friendship, a house, or a job. This can cause grief as well.
Just because a person or a pet is gone doesn't mean you shouldn't always remember them. It may be comforting to know that even if the person or pet is no longer there, the friendship, love, and personal ties you have with them still exist.
No one will ever be able to take that away from you, and the relationship you have with them will always be a part of you.
Keep the mementos that remind you of the person or pet in a box somewhere out of the way. You can then bring them out when you need a tangible reminder of your memories. Don't have them lying around as a constant reminder.
You may consider seeing a therapist or counselor. Doing this does not make you weak or pathetic. It is actually a sign of strength.
By seeking out the help you need, you show an admirable desire to move forward and overcome your grief. Over time, try to shift the focus away from sadness. Try to remember the good times and the best memories you shared with the person or pet you've lost.
Focusing on negative thoughts or regrets won't change what has happened. It will only make you feel worse.
Now, it may sound trite, but it works to lessen the period of grief. Try to remember things like the way the person talked, their funny, quirky mannerisms, the times that you spent laughing together, and the things this person had taught you about life and yourself. Over the years of seeing patients with any number of medical problems, many have mentioned the grief that they had when their beloved pet died. So if you've lost a pet, remember the beautiful times you spent together, the happy life you gave your pet, and the special traits your pet had.
A good suggestion is to write down the pleasant things you can remember about the person or pet that has been lost each time you feel tempted to become even more sad, angry, or self-pitying. This may sound silly, but how about writing a song about your loved one? You can later consult these writings when you again feel sad.
Yeah, I know it sounds silly, but it seems to be built on common sense. That is, distract yourself. By keeping busy and occupying yourself in tasks that require a dedicated focus, you give yourself a break from constantly ruminating over the loss.
Even though you might just want to immerse yourself in your work or studies, be careful, since you then risk feelings that there is only work and sorrow and nothing in between.
How about gardening, cooking, fishing, listening to your favorite music, walking, drawing, painting, writing, etc., etc.?
Many people have turned to adult coloring books. They can often be very satisfying, especially when you complete one and start another.
Choose whatever calms you and gives you a sense of joyful achievement. Again, not something everyday work or studies can always promise.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. 11 Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I'm here with my co-host Carmen Lasky. And today's topic is how to overcome grief.
Consider getting involved in social work. Shift your focus from your own problems to those of others. Consider volunteering as one possibility. If you like children, helping with young children who display lots of spontaneity and laughter may ease your mind.
Many of us lose interest in things and tend to stay home. Make it a point to not neglect an external life. When you've moved past your initial sadness, take the opportunity to embrace, go outside, and enjoy nature.
Rather than just walk on a nature path, actually see these things. Don't just look at the trees and architecture, actually see them. Listen to music. Don't just hear it.
For years, being a child of the 60s, I'd listened to that song by Simon and Garfunkel called Sounds of Silence. If you're old enough, you might actually remember it. Then, one day when playing it on the piano, I stopped to listen to the words. It opened up a whole new world of life's meaning to me. Here is the part of the song that I felt was the most interesting.
People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, no one dare disturb the sound of silence.
Life does go on. You definitely need to be a part of life and need to eventually rejoin the daily routine. We mentioned taking a walk. It is not just the act of walking or even the act of getting out. There is some scientific evidence that suggests that sunlight has natural antidepressant properties.
How many of you have seen the original Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Total Recall, or even the remake with Colin Farrell? In that, a person could go get memories that would be imprinted in the brain. For example, you might never be able to actually go and ski the Alps. However, without the danger of injury or even reality, you could have implanted in your brain what feels like the actual memory of having experienced the action.
Think about your last vacation or even a small trip. Remember the good things that you did. These are memories that have been implanted by actual experience within your brain. You can bring back those memories. They are in the past, but your memory is a fond one and comfortable to remember.
When you lose something or someone, it's it's an unfortunate fact that you'll never enjoy his, her, or its physical presence again. But this doesn't mean that the person or pet you lost doesn't still exist in the world as an idea or a symbol. Know that the person or pet you've lost lives on in your thoughts, words, and your own actions.
I know that it's often hard to get together with friends and family after a loss, especially right after the loss, but spending time with good people can help to get you motivated.
It's often difficult to motivate yourself to get out and spend time with your friends after a loss. Remember that we talked about getting together with friends, and those that understand your grief are the best ones to get along with. So find friends or acquaintances who are fun, yet kind and sensitive. You may not want to make your first hangout at the local comedy zone, but then again, maybe you do. Nothing wrong or irreverent with that. Remember that it may take weeks or months for things to seem completely normal. Spend time with kind friends. Well, that's almost always a good idea.
But don't just fake happiness. As you re-enter your normal routine, you may feel that certain career and social situations require you to be happier than you actually are.
Of course, you do not want to wallow in grief, but you should also try to avoid forcing your own happiness. It's hard to wear a smile when you don't want to, so don't make happiness a chore.
It is all right to appear and act seriously in your social life and in your work, provided you do nothing to hinder the happiness of others. Save your smile for when your happiness is genuine. It will be so much sweeter.
I've always heard that karma will punish bad people. In other words, time wounds all heals. But in the case of grief, the more common saying, time heals all wounds, is more appropriate. So allow time to heal.
Your emotional recovery may take months or years. This is okay. The object is not to simply forget those you have loved. That is one of the reasons that we suggested a scrapbook or even a journal remembering your loved ones.
Remember that your life is precious and that you're responsible for making the most of your time here. I truly believe that the purpose of your life is to be happy, not sad.
Don't rush away from grief, but don't be content with a partial recovery. Make your journey to recovery one of gradual improvement. You owe that to yourself.
Keep moving forward, no matter how long it takes. So now you have started feeling better. Do not then start to feel bad that you're feeling good, no matter how little time there has been since your loss. So remember, some come to terms with their grief earlier than others. In other words, don't feel bad for feeling good. Again, I cannot say this enough. There is no set length of time for recovering from a loss.
So if you regain your happiness sooner rather than later, don't feel guilty for not grieving enough. Don't set deadlines on grieving. Remember that at the beginning of the show, we said not to think that there is a strict regimen or time limit to finish grieving.
In our medical practice, we see a lot of people who suffer from chronic pain. And since this pain is often accompanied by depression, we often spend a lot of time talking to them in order to help them with their problems. Not just the physical problems, but their emotional and psychological problems as well. And this is often worsened when these same patients experience a loss, such as the ones that we have been talking about. Now we're going to get on to another medical subject, which has actually been suggested by my wife, Carmen. It's called compartment syndrome. It happens to be a diagnosis that one of our patients recently suffered and was hospitalized for.
Compartment syndrome occurs when excessive pressure builds up inside an enclosed muscle space in the body.
It usually results from bleeding or swelling after an injury. The high pressure of the fluid in the area stops the flow of blood to and from the affected tissues. It can be an emergency requiring surgery in order to prevent permanent injury. Your body is basically grouped into multiple compartments bordered by webs of connective tissue, which are called fascia.
After an injury, blood or fluid resulting from swelling or injury may accumulate in the compartment. The fascia does not easily allow the escape of the fluid and pressure builds up in the area. At some point, this pressure presses on the blood vessel walls that are in the compartment and blood flow to the tissues inside the compartment can be limited or even stopped.
Severe tissue damage can result with loss of body function or even death. Which compartments are most prone to this problem? Well, the legs, the arms, and the abdomen are most prone to developing compartment syndrome.
75% of the cases of compartment syndrome are caused by a broken leg or arm. This syndrome can develop rapidly, often over hours or days.
Compartment syndrome can develop from the fracture itself due to the pressure from bleeding and edema, or it can be due to the treatment itself, such as from surgery or casting of a broken bone. Acute compartment syndrome can also occur after injuries without any bone fractures. These include crush injuries, burns, overly tight bandaging, prolonged compression of a limb during a period of unconsciousness, surgery to blood vessels of an arm, leg, a blood clot in a blood vessel in the arm or leg, or even extremely vigorous exercise. Even taking anabolic steroids can contribute to developing compartment syndrome.
There is another form of compartment syndrome that may develop over days or even weeks called chronic compartment syndrome.
It may be caused by regular vigorous exercise. Usually the lower leg, buttocks, or thigh is involved. Abdominal compartment syndrome almost always develops after severe injury, surgery, or during critical illness. It may be caused by an infection called sepsis that can affect the entire body.
Some symptoms of acute compartment syndrome include a new and persistent deep ache in an arm or leg, pain that seems greater than expected for the severity of the injury, numbness, pins and needles, or electricity-like, pain in the limb, as well as swelling, tightness, and bruising.
Let us give you a quick list of the symptoms of chronic compartment syndrome. These include worsening, aching, or cramping in the affected muscle within a half hour of starting exercise. Exertional compartment syndrome can feel like shin splints, and it can be confused with that condition. The signs and symptoms of abdominal compartment syndrome include a tense, distended abdomen, wincing when the abdomen's pressed, decreased or absent urine flow, and low blood pressure.
This is not something that you can treat at home. Dressing, casts, or splints that are constricting the affected body part must be removed.
Most people with acute compartment syndrome require immediate surgery to reduce the compartment pressure. A surgeon makes long incisions through the skin and the fascial layer in order to release this excessive pressure.
You must keep the body part below the level of the heart to improve blood flow into the compartment. Give oxygen and IV fluids and pain medication as well. If you or any of your family members have been prescribed any medication that are being rejected or denied at the pharmacy, and you feel that the medication is both appropriate and medically necessary, then you need to make your voice known. Contact your state and federal representatives and tell them what's happening. It is only with this that we can right the wrongs that are being perpetrated on a large part of our citizenry and their human rights when they are denied appropriate and necessary treatment.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc Show.
Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.